Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, it's the Machin Page App podcast. It's the second episode of the second series and we're joined by Jamie Webster. Jamie, thanks very much.
What's happening, lads? Nice one for having me.
For dragging yourself in. There was a moment in the week when you were like, right, Paul, yeah, I'm bang up for this, but do us a favour, just remind me the night before. And it got to 10:30 last night and I was like, oh shit, I've not reminded him. Could be anywhere.
No, do you know what? I seen it, like, I was in bed last night and I looked and I seen your name flash up and I was like, I knew anyway, to be honest. So I was just seen it and I was just double seeing the time pop up and I was like, right, I'll get to bed now and I'll be there in the morning.
See, there's inconsistencies in the story already. Know, you started off in bed and now you're saying you were getting in bed. It's all right, mate.
No, I was getting in bed last night when I read you.
When I read your message.
And then I got up this morning.
Listened to you.
And replied to you.
And absolutely. He's not all angry that you promised him donuts and there isn't any.
I know, I did like that. I was so, but I was so focused on making sure you knew the
not
time.
Not even a jam tart or nothing. No.
Adam Rowe got donuts, by
did
the way.
Fuck?
I didn't eat them, but that's only because he had braces.
That was just accidental. I just happened to have donuts in that time. It wasn't specially for him. He's not special.
I know Adam Rowe. I'll find out.
We did that to torture him because he's got braces at the minute, so we can't eat them. So we just did it to waft it under his nose.
Good lad, Adam Rowe, isn't he? He's funny as well.
You seen him do his show?
I've seen him. Do you know what? I actually met him on the 18A years ago, which is a bus that goes to buy ours. And he was talking about this show that he never got on called Show Me the Funny. It was years ago. It was basically all these comedians, and it was some of it was set in Liverpool where they had to go to different cities and try and find out the humour and all that. And he was actually talking to his mate about a gag that he was gonna do about this Show Me the Funny because none of them were funny on there. And I was pissing myself at the back of the bus, and I said, "Oh, do you do comedy?" And he got talking. Turns out he knows a lad who went to my school who does comedy and stuff like that. So I got talking to him on the bus home years and years ago, probably going back 8 or 9 years, maybe even longer. I remember the last time I got the bus, do you know what I mean? I was just driving at 17 and just never looked back then, do you know what I mean? But so I always sort of seen him about doing stuff and I've always watched his progress sort of thing. But
he's just both killing it these days.
Ah, do you know what? It's best to see, especially someone like him, because he is genuinely like good at what he does. He's hilarious. And absolutely. Like, even in normal conversation, he still keeps up to his.
But the mad thing is, like, you got them, you know, them birds from like St. Julie's and stuff. Is it Katarina Johnson Thompson and the other one? And then there's the 18A lads.
Yeah, the 18A.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What a talented bus route that one was.
Wayne Rooney was no stranger to the 18A as well. To be fair,
there you go. Suck me balls, St. Julie's. The 18A is where it's at.
Yeah. Double deckers now as well.
We're going to kick things off then with the Page. Chris Page, like I'm told. You told me to be prepared.
I brought props in for today's Page.
Just to clarify for new viewers and listeners, the Page is our chance to page anything from the face of the earth, the face of the universe. It can be anything. It can be a person. It can be a thing. It can be a feeling. You could page all emotion if you wanted to. But what are you going with today?
Salmon paste.
Okay.
Right.
Go on. He's off. Right. So what? Salmon paste.
Paste. Okay. Oh, wow. Can you bring me that for a paste? To be honest with you. So growing up in the '80s in Liverpool, my mum was giving me paste butties like every fucking day in school.
I had a paste butty or two. I don't think I ever had salmon paste butties.
Because why would you? It's like fish that hasn't gone off, to be honest with you. Like you don't even keep it in the fridge or nothing. But what we've never done on the page before is actually tried this shit.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
So
I've probably not tried salmon paste or chicken and ham paste or chicken paste in fucking 20 years.
Defo had chicken paste butties back in the day. Now the thing is, it looks there's a childproof cap that you're failing at the moment. Well done. Look at that. He's dove straight in there.
He still takes them to work sometimes. It's like sandwich filler butties, you know. Yeah, it's like it's like a.
I think everyone's.
So we're on.
What color? It's brown.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I'm buying.
Yeah, that looks funky. That. It just smells like salmon. Do you know what? I can see myself liking that.
Why is that? Why is it that colour? It's like an orangey brown colour.
I've no idea.
Now, my limited understanding of salmon is that
first
it's
of all, what we need to do, we need to cut that bread down. You know what I mean?
We're getting a little squarey.
A squarey to
it's a fucking school butty in the 80s.
I'm not eating a full salmon paste butty.
Jimmy's like, not ready for it. He's not ready for a donut. But he's about to be force-fed some salmon paste.
Look how much he's putting on it as well. Tell you what, you're not shy, are you?
It's half a fucking jam.
Oh, no, stop. Oh, my God. So he spreads it on. Spreading it.
Is it both sides? Just fucking one side.
Do you remember that time? In fact, do you know what the last paste I had was placenta paste?
Oh, mate.
What? So, yeah.
We made placenta pate.
Yeah, which is baked pate. Is just paste in it, let's be honest. So, a friend of ours.
Oh, my God. He's got in there, no messing around. Right. So, I'm going to try this thing.
Go on.
I don't even know if I can, you know.
All right, I'm going to just. I'm done.
Yeah. It's not too bad, to be honest.
Oh, no, it is. Oh, it's got an aftertaste, and the taste is fucking fish. I'm eating fish at fucking 10 to 11 in the morning. Not. What have you done?
I think you're both a pair of fannies.
Stick your donuts. Adam Rowe didn't get salmon paste butties.
It didn't, like, I think at first I just got bread.
I've got a cup of tea here as well. Oh, you've ruined my fucking mouth and my cup of tea.
You have ruined my cup of tea, but... It's a salmon shiny, you know, we'd love that, me nan.
Oh, yeah. Nans would be all over that shit. So you're getting rid of paste?
I'm still getting rid of it, to be honest with you, because I can't get rid of the fucking taste.
Oh, we're going to have to purge it, because it's never purging itself from my mouth.
It's still in my mouth,
you've not swallowed any.
I can't.
You've got a chin in
there. Can you stop over?
Oh my god. We're all alright, Paige, in the salmon paste.
Yeah, I'm well happy for that to go.
Instead of all, leave it like that. It's just like it to get out of my mouth now.
It's the only way you're getting it out of your mouth is to have it.
So, the placenta story, a mate of ours had a kid.
Yeah.
And like, it's supposed to be good for you to eat the placenta that comes out of the childbirth and all that shit, isn't it? Like, so.
It's one of the most regrettable things I've done, and I've done a number of regrettable things.
So, I used to work in a restaurant, and Joe used to work there as well, like, and he walks through the restaurant. Like the front door with a fucking hazardous human waste bag into the fucking kitchen, and the chef goes, I've got a fucking recipe for that. I know exactly what I'm doing with that. And he makes this fucking pate, and it's not until we're stood in Joe's kitchen and we've spread air insides basically on some fucking toast. We start eating it, and I just sort of like realised what I was eating.
There's just that moment
like basically where fucking
I can hear the baby in the other room, and I can hear her calming the baby, and I'm very aware that what I'm doing is cannibalism. Effectively, and it's there's that, you know.
I just looked at him, thought he's had sex with her, and I'm eating this 9 months later.
I'm eating the residue,
fucking 9 month old residue.
Disgusting.
Oh, it was fucking worst.
I have
the worst.
Funny, I have heard that, but you know, never been in a situation
did
where
taste
it's sort of like
on the table slightly better than salmon paste, which is the interesting thing.
Oh, I'll give it a go then.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I've decided this week that I want to purge my intolerance to alcohol. Like I was talking about this the other day and how I don't get drunk very much anymore, and that's what's really annoying about it. Is because it's not like a thing where you can like build up your stores so you can survive a hangover. And I get it. Like if you get cunted every day, then you deserve the worst. You deserve the worst hangovers in the world because you're doing that to yourself. You're ruining yourself. You're ruining yourself. But I don't do it very often, and I think I deserve to not have hangovers because I don't do it very often.
It doesn't work like that.
No, no, it doesn't. It's worse. The worst. I literally used to drink every day. There was a 1 year, and it stands out vividly in my mind. I was sober for 2 days. I was pissed for 363 out of 365 days, and I remembered them vividly because one, I was vomiting all day because I was ill, and the other one, I couldn't sleep, so I stayed up for 24 hours because I didn't have an ale in my system and I couldn't get to sleep as a result of it. I was but back in the day when I never really got hangover, so it was fine. I just get up and carry on drinking. Now I have like once every 2 months, I'll have like 5 pints and I'm KO'd for the entire weekend off the back of it.
Yeah.
Hate it. Hate it, because being pissed is loads of fun, and I still love the I hate the fact that I get to 3 pints and I've been drinking for an hour, and I'm like, well, there's like 5 hours left in the night. What am I gonna do? Do I stop drinking?
That is what
you
do.
Stupid.
That is what you do.
Drink, you
then
stop.
You go home.
No, I know. Yeah, you go home. Fucking hell.
Do you know what? I can sympathise with you there because like, well, everyone has the phase, don't they? When I was like probably like 17 to 21, 22, I was. Every home game, every away game, every midweek game, I was a few ales before, a few ales in the match, a few ales in the Yankee after it, you know what I mean? Or the coach home, whatever. And like you say, I could just get up and go to work. I used to get in at 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes. And then
how were you soldering skills at fucking 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, to be fair, soldering wasn't really my forte. That's a bit of a step up from what I was doing. I was just an electrician, not an engineer, so to speak. But it was more like get up in the loft and pull them cables across, you know what I mean? But yeah, I wasn't bad. I used to get and I'd be up for work at, you know, I'd be out in the van at 7 o'clock going to work, and you know, you just got on with it. But now, because me sort of my income and my livelihood's based around singing. As you know, when you go out on the ale and you shout at everybody all night and everything, your throat's fucked the next day.
Yeah.
So I've had to cut out, like if you get Kiev, Madrid and all that, all pre-match, and if I'm singing afterwards or the day after, you won't catch me with a bevy in my hand, you know what I mean? It's very, very rare. Maybe at the end of like a succession of every 3-4 months, I'll have a good drink and a good blowout, and I suffer like fuck the next day myself because of it. Because like I'm not used to it. I think it is. I think it's literally the more, it's like my dad can go out and have 4, 5, 6 pints, get up and go to work again.
Drive home and he's off.
Yeah. But like, you know, because it's like they're used to having a bevy. It's your body's used to it. I think it is down to, you know, an actual physical factor.
Oh, it's 100%. You're like, you've still drink more than I do, but like, this is not me, this is not an intervention, by the way. I've witnessed your hangovers so often in various working environments, but you've always been able to get on with it because I think it's still more of a regular life thing. Whereas, honestly, I mean, the levels of shame in the morning I find very hard to deal with, even when I've done nothing, it's trying to make sure I've not tweeted anything, and I'm obviously hilarious when I'm drunk. I'm fucking hilarious.
No, you do. You get that shame though. Yeah, like, you won't even look at your phone or nothing like that. And it's worse now because, like, if I go out in Liverpool or something and I get absolutely mullered, you don't know what you're doing half the time, and you're worried that someone's recorded you doing something ridiculous anyway, or they're gonna put it out.
Well, we had the one where Aubrey used to work with us. Our good friend Aubrey was like 3 hours late for work one day, and someone tweeted the Redmen Twitter account, and it was a video of him out in town, fucking bladdered, hanging off someone, like
still 4 in the morning,
dobbed him in, like,
fucking coming, stinking. It was like, well, we know what you've been doing. Yeah. Like,
my one now is, I still get the bad hangovers in like two days, sometimes three and stuff, but now my body wakes up dead early, and I'm talking stupid o'clock in the morning, so I can go out and have a beer, have like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pints or whatever. I'm up at 2:30, mate. Like, and it's like just ridiculous. And I'm like, and I'm wide awake with a fucking hangover. And I'm like, you're supposed to sleep at least half your hangover off.
Yeah,
and I'm there at 2:30, like watching fucking some shite on Netflix.
This was your thing, was Chris used to always fall asleep first. So like you'd have a skin full, drink faster than everyone, and be asleep by 9 o'clock, and we don't get on with the rest of our night.
Perfect.
But I know, and then we'd stay up till 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah. You should just knobheads after 9 o'clock.
No, absolutely. We'd stay up and get fucking ruined, and then be goosed the next day, and you'd wake up fit and fresh at fucking 5:30 in the morning. Like, come on, lads, what are we doing? Yeah. It's like, get away.
Yeah. Cable get away. Cars today,
whereas
lads.
Now you don't go to bed early. And you wake up even earlier.
It's a joke, like.
Yeah, good luck with that, like. Yeah, it's getting paged.
It's shite, yeah.
Go on, Jamie, what are you bringing to the table?
Well, I've got three things to bring to the table. One thing is based off the weekend. Obviously, I had a sick tour. Do you know, like, doing my own tunes. Liverpool absolutely went off. It was brilliant. People singing the words to tunes that, like, haven't been released yet and all that. It was a boss buzz. Probably one of the best buzzes I've ever had. Then got to Dublin the next night. Didn't have my band with me, which was already a bit of a... You know, a bit of a nightmare because it does help me stand different. You know, beside apart from the Liverpool stuff, when my band are behind me, obviously, because it's a different look, different sound and everything.
Do you feel empowered by having them behind you anyway?
Yeah, definitely. And because, mate, they're all shit hot musicians as well. They're like session musicians. My drummer's the drummer for the Lightning Seeds. His brother is the drummer in Oasis, Chris Sharrock. it's Jim Sharrock. It is. He's playing for the Coral tonight. He was meant to be playing for me tonight, but he's playing for the Coral tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you know.
You get them.
Yeah, I'll take that, you know what I mean? And me guitarist plays all Mick Head stuff, does all his albums, all his live stuff with him. He's in his own band called The Peach Fuzz. He's actually a blue as well. He's a good lad, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no one's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's sort of another example of why I'm standing alone and not playing Liverpool songs. Considering this fucking unbelievable guitarist who's doing me a massive favour playing for half the price he plays for anyone else because I've known him. You know what I mean? And then to go, oh, yeah, by the way, lad.
Major Van Dyke now, lad.
I want you to do a solo in the middle of Bobby for me. Like, fucking no chance. So, like, and then my bass players, like, he actually plays sax for the Lightning Seeds. He plays, he techs and sets up the equipment for the Coral, the Lightning Seeds. He's a producer. It's just like, they're like a scout supergroup, if you like, you know what I mean? So to have them behind, yeah. Like, even I've practiced with good musicians, do you know what I mean? And, like, when I went into the room with these, it was like, wow. It was like the amount of work that I thought that I had to do compared to what I thought I had to do was like, just unbelievable. So it was great to play with them. But then obviously this is where my page comes in. We went to Dublin the next night. And like, I'm really, as everybody knows, I'm really, really grateful for all the support of the Liverpool fans and stuff like that. But I made it clear, like I don't know how many times, that this little tour, this little, only 3 days, that was all it was just like, you know, concentrating on my own tunes and, you know, giving them a platform to be heard on their own away from the Liverpool stuff. So I walk out there and sat on the stage is a lady in like a Sadio Mane Liverpool top. And that's fine, do you know what I mean? Wear what you want, there's a few of them. And so I placed the first song. Great, everyone's clapping, blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, but I could see, you know, about 10 people in the audience who were clearly like, hanging
on. Can you feel it as well? Like
you could feel a difference already. Part of it maybe might have been the image because I was stood there like I would have been stood there like I was just 3 months earlier. Played the same venue 3 months earlier with the Liverpool gig.
Yeah.
It looked like the same setup. But anyway, these, like I've said, listen, thank you to everybody for coming down to support me. You know, for the first time in Dublin, playing me original music as opposed to the Liverpool songs. So loads of people in the room start cheering and all that. It's great. But then this portion of people are, you are playing Liverpool songs? I said, no, I'm not. And he said, no, you are. And she actually sat on the stage and she picks up like this, you know, like a 16 amp commando socket thing, like an extension, and goes, I'll pull this out. And I was like,
that's just for the fucking dishwasher behind the bar.
should have said that, but I was like, can someone have a word here, please? I said, listen, I'm sorry you're upset. I said, but like, I'm not if anyone's upset, I'm not playing Liverpool songs. If that's what you've come here for, no malice, but just like, you may as well leave now because I'm not going to play any. And she was like, I want my fucking money back. I said, you're not going to get your money back, love. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not down to me anyway. It's a promoter. I've just been asked to play. I've been asked to play my own songs.
Yeah.
It's not like Dave said to me, what you prefer. A promoter's come to me and said, I want you to do a tour with your own music, no Liverpool songs included. Do a date in Liverpool, date in Dublin, date in London. So anyway, after the gig and all that, I think people were expecting like a 2-hour boss night. Do you know what I mean? And
I played for just
respecting McCartney.
Yeah, just shy of an hour. I've played and, you know, played literally, played extra songs because I knew that the atmosphere was a bit tense. Don't be wrong, the songs that I did play, like the singles and stuff like that, went down really well. Even some of the other songs that you didn't know, like I'd say a good 90% of the crowd were absolutely amazing. And like, thank you to anyone who might be watching this who was there. And then obviously, I've walked downstairs and some fellas followed me from that group of people and called me a fucking rip-off as we're going downstairs. So I've been locked in like a void backstage trying to get back out to him. Bouncers had hold of the door, my birds had, I've been kicking fuck out of the door. And I've broke my foot, I think. Well, at least a couple of toes. So what I'd like to purge basically is me. My name sort of automatic as being linked to Liverpool songs. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that like I want people to forget and that I'm forgetting what I've done, because the fact of the matter is I still play Liverpool gigs all the fucking time. Like I played before the game on Monday night, straight after the tour. Every Saturday or Sunday home game, I play two gigs, one before, one after. They're completely free of charge. Do you know what I mean? I'm going round Europe and the world this summer to play to all sorts of fans. Some of them gigs will be free of charge as well, some of them won't be. But, you know, I'm still doing all these Liverpool things, which is like basically what people want. So what I'd like to, not maybe to, I just like people, my page is people not respecting the fact that I am a musician as well as a Liverpool singer-songwriter. Yeah.
So I can get that. Everyone's afraid of being pigeonholed in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, like, pigeonholing, actually, that's me page.
Yeah, because you've obviously come up and you've done amazing and what you're doing is incredible. And I think you've made the fan base well better for everything that you use, and Boss Night as well, not just you.
I appreciate
everything that they've done. I think has made everything about Support Liverpool much better, and it's more inclusive and all that. But you're a person who wants to grow and who wants to become better and wants to do their own fucking music.
Yeah.
Should be allowed to be able to do that, essentially, shouldn't you?
Exactly.
People, the problem you'd have, of course, is that people have their understanding of what you are. And we get this.
We
get this too. And it's like, I remember having a thing with a cousin of mine years ago and saying, he didn't get Redmen for you, he didn't understand what it was. And then he did, and he was like, oh, I'm really proud of what you've done, fine. I was like, oh, thanks very much. And I went, but you want to see what comes next? And he was like, mean next?
Yeah.
No. Just do that. That's good. Just do more. I was like, nah. That's just a stepping stone. It was always only going to be a stepping stone to build a profile and do other bits and pieces. He's like, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure you should be doing that. I think you should make sure that you stick to that and don't go outside your wheelhouse, because people have got a limited understanding of it.
Yeah, exactly.
They get a grip of you. They get a grasp of what you are, and they're happy with that. And I don't know whether it makes them feel like they've got a greater grip on life to have an understanding of other people or whatever. But no, I get it, but it is tough, because people are assholes at the end of the day. And you've seen, I'm sure there will have been people, because you've had your singles in your Liverpool sets, over the last year or so. And I'm sure there will have been people who were stood in fucking Madrid going, whoa. What's he doing? Playing one song that's not a song that I've heard from Liverpool before? But that's, you know why? Because ultimately people are gobshite.
I know. It's just like, after everything I've done, I just did, like, I'm not saying I'm fucking Gandhi or anyone like that, you know what I mean? But like, after all like the experiences that I've shared with Liverpool fans over the 9-10 years I've been doing it, you know what I mean? In sort of backstreet pubs and whatever else. Like, I'm not asking everyone to support me and listen to me music, because they don't have to, because people have different tastes. And the one thing that brings all these people together, I understand, is Liverpool Football Club. But there are people out there who do like me music, and some of them necessarily don't have a love of Liverpool Football Club at the same time. So I've got to do this separate for the sake of them people, because this is about the music. It's not about Liverpool Football Club.
But what people don't understand, right, I think anyway, and I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, so correct me if I'm wrong, Jamie, is there will become a point where you just get bored of doing a song. Like, you know, you might not get bored of the crowd and the energy and all that type of stuff, but does it challenge you to do LA, 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 for example? This might actually elongate your enjoyment of the other stuff, because you can break away and do something different for a bit. You know what I mean? And everything else just becomes... But you might enjoy the Liverpool gigs more for doing a gig that's not Liverpool.
You're talking about this podcast, aren't you, Chris?
But do you know what? You're right, because, like, it is... Like, I really enjoyed... Well, like, Dublin was great, and like in terms of the music side, it was just sort of that pre and post bit that sort of soured things up for me a little bit. But Liverpool and London were like absolutely unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, I had the band there and stuff like that, but it was great. I felt like a different person. Not like that I feel like a bad person when I'm playing Liverpool, but it just felt like something new. And
they're invested in you and what you've written and what you've put together. That's completely different.
But then going back to go and do the gig in hotels here on Monday was fine again. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it's not that I don't like them, because like you say, the crowds are unbelievable. You can never get bored of seeing Liverpool fans jumping all over each other to like.
Is there a thing? Is the thing with the Liverpool stuff is because like it's not like you were the first, but you're the first who made the big who became big off it kind of thing. Is that so many people are doing that shtick?
Yeah.
There's a thing degree to which, you know, your own music is where you stand up as a musician everywhere. Yeah. It's effectively covers the vast majority of it, isn't it?
It's covers, nursery rhymes, some of them, do you know what I mean? It's not a bad thing. That's just how football songs, it's simple, effective, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like,
how many of those songs are four chords or
under? Less. I keep the capo on the third fret and play like basically in G, which is B flat. That's getting technical, do you know what I mean? But it's basically the first like, or the dipping in and out like, but the majority of my set is in the same key with the same 3-4 chords, do you know what I mean? That's necessary. You can, any of them Liverpool songs, you can make them whatever chords you want. It's just whatever suits your voice, do you know what I mean? I know Kieran plays them a bit further down, because his range is like a deep, more, you know, powerful sort of withholding thing, whereas I tend to go higher.
Yeah.
And, you know, Timo then plays it in a different way again. He plays sort of in the middle of the two of us. But they're all the same chords, effectively. Most, you know, songs are the same chords. It's just whichever way you move them around, you can turn probably most Oasis songs into them four chords. Do you know what I mean? If you just mess around with it a little bit. But it's, like I say, it's nice for me to be able to go and do that and stand up. Just come away from it a little bit. I don't get bored of the crowds or nothing like that. But like you say, effectively it is LA, LA, LA and stuff like that. They're just, I've done it for a long, long time, and you never ever fail to buzz off the crowd. But at the same time, the goosebumps I got in my belly before my own gigs, it was like, wow, I feel like I'm all new to this again. And it was nice, do you know what I mean? It's just a nice,
city of storytellers and entrepreneurs, and I think, and I'm glad that the reaction was boss in Liverpool, because I think that's where you know if you're getting a bad reaction in Liverpool, I think it's easy to get a bad reaction in this city.
Yeah.
I think as much as we preach solidarity a lot of the time,
there
is a lot of being cool too cool to clap, and a lot of like a bit of jealousy and all that kind of stuff. But there's something about that, I think it's in the nature of people from Liverpool is to use things as springboards, to find a way to make something work, to drag yourself up and out, and to get into other things. And that's the thing for me. I think it's aspirational to be able to do something that was boss, that people fucking loved, and then go, thanks very much, I'm gonna go and
do this.
Do me other bits as well.
It's not like I'm going to. That's the thing.
Well, Jamie, no, with the greatest respect, no one was buying this album, these songs 2 years ago.
No.
It's because you're just another lad with a guitar, whereas now you've built up a reputation which has afforded you to do that. That sounds, growing, that's becoming an artist, you know.
And at the same time, I'm not back healing to Liverpool. It's not like I'm going, oh yeah, ta-ra, you know what I mean? I'm never setting foot at a Liverpool gig again or not. I'm doing more of them than ever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're about to win the league, where am I going to go? Do you know what I mean? Like, seriously, I'm 25, do you know what I mean? It's time, if I want to do my own music as well at the same time, if there's ever a chance of me doing anything with my own music, it's now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I've got to take the opportunity. So I'm apologetic for people who can't understand that I have to do them separate. I can't do them in the same place at the same time, because then it excludes other people that I'm trying to reach. Do you know what I mean? Who don't necessarily love
Jamie, you put it in capital
club.
Letters on your post, mate. You're not doing them.
I know. But anyway, that was...
But he's just saying that, isn't
he? Well, apparently there was people, like, I've got mates who live in Ireland and stuff like that who all come down to support me also. And they said they were having, like, arguments with these people in the toilets because they were going... Like, they were going, oh, do you reckon, is he going to... I can't wait for a lay or something, this fella said.
And my mate turned around and went, no, mate, you know, he's playing his own music tonight. And they were like, yeah, I know he says he's not playing Liverpool's songs, but he's going to play one or two, isn't he? And they were like, no, he's not. He was like, I bet you a grand he plays Liverpool songs. And my mate said, he was like, Med, he's not playing them, so you may as well give me it now.
Yeah.
And like that's the main frustration when, like, because like even I've just announced my tour for September, my album tour. Do you know what I mean? Which again is no Liverpool tunes, but
where can people find information out?
Yeah,
on that?
Everywhere: Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and it's in big capital letters. No footy tunes, but still. But still, I've got people commenting.
Is that what your album's called?
Yeah, No Footy Tunes. but first song is No Footy Tunes. And people have commented underneath, will you be playing LFC songs? And you're like, what can I do more? Do you know what I mean? That's the only thing, that's where the pigeonhole comes in, because people are just going, Jamie Webster, date, LFC. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, if you look at the poster, if you look at all my Boss Night posters, all the posters that I've done regarding Liverpool FC events, there's big fuck off Liverpool flags in front and behind me. Yeah, there's like a you know, montages of X Games managers, all that. This has got a half cut image of my face and nothing else. Do you know
and
what
it's
I mean?
Blue.
It's like blue and grey. It's not fucking red. It's like grey and white, and you know what I mean. And nothing to try to stand as far away.
Who's like the big inspiration for you musically? If you can pin it down to just a couple, like, because I'm sure you'll have loads.
Well,
like
everyone will have probably thought that it was Jerry Cinnamon, but then Weekends in Paradise come out and he fucking kicked off me manager and said I was trying to rip him off.
Really?
Yeah. so not anymore. But
it was. Yeah, but it was.
He was. Yeah, he was a big influence. But you're the first people who've heard this, by the way. Yeah. So that's a bit of exclusivity for you. Just leave it in the podcast. Don't drop it out. Fucking Ed Page, Ed Moodlands. But he kicked off at me manager. Saying like, that wee bastard's trying to rip me off. He's nicked my fucking upstroke and all that. And
Yeah.
I was like, Sam, mate, the upstrokes have been going since like the fucking blues or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like that's your prerogative, mate. I'm just trying to have a go. But Bob Dylan's a massive one. Like, you know, because his lyrics just tell so many stories. And like when you listen to my album, like, all right, I'm not quite as profound as Bob Dylan in the way that I say words, but there's basically a storyline and a meaning, and like there's
something you can grip onto, though,
yeah,
isn't there?
And something you can think about behind most
slice of life stuff in there.
Yeah, it is. Well. It's basically my album's basically documenting working class struggles and then escapes of that at the same time. So, I'm hoping that once it's out there and all the tunes out there, it'll be good enough to stand on its own. It's quite political as well, some songs. So, that's again where the Dylan influence comes from. But no, as much as Jerry doesn't like me, I still think Jerry's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? I still do. Like, I can't wait to meet him one day. Like, but
I'm sure it happens. You see it happen in music all the time, though, don't you? And I've often wondered about this, because you have, and I think when music is constructed, so when you see it in pop music, it happens all the time. So you get an artist. So let's use Rihanna as an example. Rihanna goes mega, and then it's got find someone else who sounds a bit like Rihanna who can make music in the times between her making music.
Yeah.
But in terms of your stuff, there's an organic thing to it. Jerry Cinnamon was an organic, you know, when Belt had come out, everyone was just talking about this song. Have you heard this song about this lad? He talks about a bear being a belter. It's dead funny. It kind of spread by words of mouth and what have you. And you've come up a different route. I mean, again, there's probably a degree of professional jealousy, but it's not like you've sat at home with your 10 instruments that you play and you've gone, what's gonna be the thing that what am I gonna ape? That makes me successful.
I just wrote a song about getting off your head for 3 days and the consequences of it. Do you know what I mean? Everybody in Liverpool can relate to that. I'm sorry whether like he thinks that like I'm trying to take a leaf out of his.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Look, musicians are allowed to talk about going out
about real life stuff, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like the beat and that's similar because I was playing a guitar on my own and you know what? I seen him do it and I thought, fucking hell, that's unbelievable. And his message in every gig, I've travelled to Amsterdam to see him, I've been to see him about 8 and 9, drove up to Edinburgh to see him and all shit like that, you know what I mean? I was a massive Jerry. I've listened to him since 2015 when he'd done a song about the Scottish independence before any cunts round here knew who he was, do you know what I mean? I played all his covers at all my gigs and stuff like that because he was like an inspiration for someone to be doing what he was doing and getting the noise that he was getting out of one man and a guitar. So for me, I was playing tunes like that anyway with the Liverpool songs, yeah, with that sort of beat in them. So I thought I'll write one myself to the same beat, not because I want to be you, Jerry, just because it's a good way to get like a lively sound out of one man and his guitar. The Arctic Monkeys have done it in some of their songs as well, like A Certain Romance, it's all upstrung, but they've got it with a band. It's the only difference that he's using. Instead of having a drummer, he's doing that. But I've got a drummer now, Jerry, so it's all right, you know what I mean?
And he plays for the Lightning Seas, doesn't he?
Yeah, Jimmy. But like, definitely Jerry was a huge influence. I'm sort of trying to step away from that now, though, because... Yeah. You know, once he comes out and kicks off about something, I'll have half of Scotland telling me that I'm, do you know what I mean, this, that, the other, and I just can't, I'm just not ready for that after I've already had a war with a few people in Ireland there, so, I don't want my other foot broke. But like Jerry Dillon, obviously everyone had the, like, Oasis face, everyone had the Beatles face.
I always thought it was interesting, because, like, the songs, like, the Boss Night playlist, as it were, back in the day, and the songs that you were pulling out, there's those, it's not like your obvious one, because any tit in the world can pull Wonderwall out their ass, but it was for me, because I was a mad Oasis fan, mad. Like, I was telling a story about how I missed that Justice Court concert where everyone in the world played Anfield because I bought the fucking Japanese import of Some Might Say because it had two songs I hadn't had because I'm a dickhead, because I'm a bad dickhead. But it was like the slightly off, you know, not the mainstream Oasis songs to get into that, you know. And again, like, putting dodgy tracks into stuff, most people, unless you were there and influenced by that, most people don't know the fuck dodgy are.
No, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, it was that sort of influence. The Lars were a massive, massive, massive influence. Cast as well, but, like that first, but the Lars album, it's just, like, the stuff he's writing about and, like, the way it's just scouses anything, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's posh. KOL's early stuff, like I say, was massive. Then, you know, you sort of drift into, like, your Roses and...
Yeah.
The Jam was a massive, massive influence of mine. Paul Weller, my mum and dad loved Paul Weller. Squeeze. I remember Squeeze. Mm-hmm. My mum and dad both love Squeeze. Then you're going back to, like, Sinatra and that I've listened to growing up, you know what I mean? When my dad liked the Rat Pack sort of stuff, Drifters. I listen to anything, but, like, the main sort of... way that I try and go, it's like the storytelling troubadour sort of route, but with a modern twist that gets people dancing at the same time, do you know what I mean? But yeah.
So my big thing with music at the moment, and like I'm 37 now, so, and you know, I'm married, I've got kids and all that type of stuff, like, so it's not about like going out to the weekend with the lads and all that, it's changed, life's changed and all that now. But when I was like, say, fucking 14 to 24, 25,
be out every weekend, we'll be in someone's house, we'll be listening to music and we'll be doing that, and you'll be like, someone will bring a CD and you'll throw a CD on, you'll listen to the whole fucking album. That's how I still enjoy listening to music. But now, music seems to just be this insular thing for so many people, where you just put your headphones on and you listen to something, or you see kids walking down the street with one headphone in and having a chat and that.
Mm.
And it's like, that wasn't what music was about for me. Music was about fucking all sitting in a room and like, you take turns and throwing a song on or something like that, and now everyone just... I like probably don't listen to the, we used to listen to all the same bands, don't listen to any of the same bands, probably don't even know what he's listening to now, because it's fucking Spotify and your ear and all that, like, which is why I went back to LPs this year, started buying a load of LPs again, and we just put them on, and like, the kids can go off and play in the other room, and me and my wife will just sit there and do something and listen to some music and talk about it and stuff. It's well better way of listening to music with people.
It is the best way to listen to music. I mean, with people or without people, like, one earphone in, like, turned down to, like, 40% talking to your mates, or it's not, I've got terrible ears because I listen to music, like, you know what I mean? Because, like, I like to feel it. It's like, it's music, isn't it? But definitely, like, if you can be with people and you can both sort of sit down and listen to them. That's my only problem, though, where every time I'm with people, I'm talking to people. You know, so even I'm with my missus sometimes, I'll throw a tune on and I'll be getting into it, and then she'll start talking to me. I think I've got like one proper mate who I can like, who we can just sit down and go, yeah, listen to this lad, and he won't start talking in the middle of the fucking bridge or something like that. You know what I mean? Like he'll listen to the tune and we can talk about it afterwards. But that does annoy me about music. I don't understand how people can like, you go to people, yeah, here's my new tune, do you want to listen to it? And they go, oh yeah. So you turn it up, and then they're like, turn it down a bit, lads, you know what I mean? And then, like, and you're like, you're not even listening to,
I remember that when I realised it was all over was when, I think it was In Your Honour by Foo Fighters come out, and I got it the day it come out, and it was the day music died for me, was I put it up, brought it back to this house with my mates were, and I put it on, I thought, well, get this up, and they were sat there, and you could just see them wincing, and like, I think they were playing like Tiger Woods or something on the PS2 at the time, and it was interrupting their fucking quiet concentration golf time.
Yeah, oh,
God. But bear in mind, we were all fucking massive Foo Fighters fans, and that was the point, and after like two tracks, you just get, you sense the mood, and it's like, all right, we'll just have this off then, and just sit in silence and fucking watch the fucking PlayStation for a bit, shall we? Like,
I hope that never gets, it'll never be the case with me, but yeah, most of my mates, that when I go back, to be fair to them, when I go back to the houses and stuff like that, most of them just want to listen to fucking techno because they're all off their heads, you know what I mean? But which is fine, you know what I mean? Because you have a great time laughing at them all and shit like that, you know what I mean? But definitely music should be shared with people. It should be loud, and it should be... I think music should be a reflection of like something you've experienced, something you've seen, or something... You know that you know someone else is going through.
There's got to be a purpose to it, hasn't there?
Yeah.
And this is what happens.
That's my.
But I like, again, I'd use Oasis as an example of this. And I remember Noel Gallagher used to say this. You know, he said everything he ever wanted to say in the first two albums, and he had nothing left. He felt like there was nothing else he had left to say, and it showed, because unless you do what the Beatles do, well, they were lucky because obviously you had Lennon, who just could write about his own experiences, and you had McCartney, you could just pick out a tune and just make a catchy tune out of nothing. So at least they had that to go to. But Oasis struggled for like three albums, from Real and Raw and being in the city and growing up and trying to fight against your life, to all of a sudden trying to make this fucking nothing wanky fucking music that had no message, because they had
nothing to say. My favourite
band is a band called The Hold Steady. I don't know if you know them. Like Craig Finn, he's from Minneapolis. They're a New York band now. Great, I think the greatest songwriter in the world. Like, and he's got solo stuff and it's unbelievable. He played Liverpool Phase One, about fucking 50 people there. One of the best gigs I've ever been to in my life. Like not that long ago. And every single song that they play from 2000 to last year's album, Thrashing Through the Passion, there's something that I can grip onto. They talk about different people, and he talks about the names, and he talks about all that, but there's always something in every song that I go, oh, that was like that when I did this with my mate, or that was like that, and that's what it does to you. Yeah, everyone, like Weekend in Paradise, everyone's fucking done that.
Like everyone's if you haven't, that, you're a sheltered human being, do you know what I mean? No,
but maybe, at least you get to live vicariously through the song. If you haven't, at least you can go, oh, that sounds boss.
Let's have a go. But no, even if you haven't lived through every single moment of it, everyone's been in a situation similar to that, or even just once in the life, do you know what I mean? Or even if they've got a mate who's like that, you know what I mean? If they're not like that themselves, because some people are like teetotal and like really don't have never ever exceeded themselves in the way of drinking or partying or anything like that. They've literally, I know people who just always just seem to have a couple and just go home, do you know what I mean? And like that's up to them, isn't it, really? Do you know what I mean? But
so where the fuck are you gonna go for your second album? Well, that's, you can't be singing about having a pint with Klopp, mate, because no one can fucking relate to that.
No, no, exactly. I mean, that's the problem with, like, well, like I was saying with Oasis, the first sort of two albums were about being skinted on the dole, and then all of a sudden they were worth 90 million quid each, and it's like, oh, I can't write about, like, not having enough money for ciggies now sort of thing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I always say that, like, it doesn't have to be, like, your own personal experience. It can be something you see, and just because you don't walk in them shoes, it doesn't mean that you can't realise that it's wrong or right.
It's pure Dylan, that.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So, like, I've got a song called The Joker that's going to come out in on the album, and I was watching The Joker with me bird, and, like, my manager or CEO at the record label, Dave Pitch, own sound, he's a lovely fella, but he tries to, like, because he knows I was a hard-working lad as an electrician and stuff, he tries to instill that work ethic into my music. So he's like, I want a tune a week from you. Do you know what I mean? I want you to write me a song a week, which is brilliant because it keeps you on your toes and everything else, and it's a good way of working. Because even if you go by 10 weeks and you've wrote 10 songs, even if 8 of them are shite, 9 of them are shite, if you've got a hit in there somewhere, or even a decent song, it's worth taking the time. So I was thinking about, I had this lovely, like, sort of little melody for a song, you know, like, hum the lyrics, you know, and, like, add me guitar, and I was like, oh, you know, the way this song is, it needs to be quite a profound song. It can't just be, like, a party song, because the way it is, it's got to have a bit of mean, like, a real bit of depth. I was thinking, what the fuck am I going to write about? And my first thing was like, maybe people who, you know, aren't fortunate enough to have homes and stuff like that. But then I went to see The Joker with me bird. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And, like, I was sat there and I was just like, from the minute one, I was like, this is what I'm going to write about.
Yeah.
It's about, like, the basically how many times someone has to be ignored before they turn into a villain and abandoned by society.
Yeah.
And, like, the Joker's a massive, you know, over-exaggerated, far-fetched, you know, ideal of that. But it can so easily be translated into, like, you know, you look at these people who've done terrible things over the years.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to look into, like, what they had to go through as a younger person and stuff like that. And basically one of the hook lines is that it's hard to know what's going on behind the face of a smiling clown. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, even lyrics from it, I was literally watching The Joker and I was like, I think he says, like, comedy is subjective. You know what I mean? Which it is. It's like, so, like, one of my lyrics in the song is like, if comedy is subjective, it seems nobody out there shared his lessons. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, well, no one gets him, but, like, he's his own sort of. And that's all for me, like, even though you never know, I might, the first album might flop and I might literally be back on working building sites, so I might be writing about that on my second album. But if not, and I do, you know, do good things and that, doesn't mean that, like, I'm going to be writing about, you know, flying business class or something
it's a test of the quality, because I looked at the Arctic Monkeys as an example. I fell off them big time after the second album because they stopped speaking to me, and then the way their music evolved wasn't what I was into.
Yeah.
And you'll have that, but no one can say the Arctic Monkeys aren't much bigger now than they were after the second album. So clearly they've gone to a different audience. They've gone bigger. Yeah. But you can change your style as long as you're appealing to somebody. And ultimately, as long as you're writing music that you give a fuck about.
Yeah,
because that's the thing that gets me. Have you ever seen the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster? There's a band who've lost the plot there. They've had too much for too long, and they're just like, they're having people handing them lyrics to songs, and you can tell it's like going through the motions. It's mad. But I suppose you're still doing the first album, aren't you? So it's a challenge on the horizon.
Yeah, it is.
But that's the point about grow. You've got to grow.
Yeah.
Or you can do what Blink-182 do and just sing about being 17 and being dumped at the prom until you're 50. You know, works for you.
But a fucking great band and a band that you fucking love has to fucking grow up with you.
Yeah.
It has to, because unless you just want to keep appealing, like Blink to 17-year-olds, what's the point? And
exactly.
Then you're going to get bored. Like, I love Jimmy Eat World, right? And I didn't listen to them for 10 years, and I listened to them, I was like, they sound so different.
And I listened to what they were singing about, and I was like, oh, fucking hell. And I went back and listened to all the albums, and I could relate to it after the fact of everything that they'd gone through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what you want from a band. You want someone who's there with you through your life who can fucking relate to you.
That's the idea. You know what I mean? That is the idea. And I just hope people can, like you say, just have a look. Just, you don't have to like it. I'm not saying any, you just have to like it. You just have to listen to it. But if you've got an open mind and you know, you like your music, why not? Do you know what I mean? It's not going to cost you anything when the album's out to listen to it. It's all on Spotify. And it'll probably be on YouTube, and you don't have to buy the album. You don't even have to listen to every song. Just give something a go. Do you know what I mean? And see if it does relate to you. Because I'm telling you now that like most of the songs that you listen to on the album, you know what I mean? I've got a line in one of my tunes, it says the boss's son's a knobhead and he's driving all the lads with sick. You know what I mean? How many people in the world can relate to that? You know what I mean? It's like, it's just me having a go.
It's the challenge though, isn't it? That's the challenge, because there's one thing you write, it's one thing where you've had 10 years to write your material, it's a life that you've lived up through, and then it's the next challenge is how do you still make songs relatable and make songs that people they can get into when your life changes. But you have, what you do is you get more freedom and you get more space to express and do what you want.
There's also the aspects of like you say, what are we going through in the next couple of years? So there's like
them Dublin lot are getting a song.
Well, like exact moments, like you could write about moments. Do you know what I mean? About the, like maybe
the Dubliners, we'll call it.
The Dublin, the Grand Social, that was where it was. But like you know, you could write about moments defining a time of your life. You know what I mean? Or you could write about love. You know what I mean? Maybe you get engaged, you have a kid. You know what I mean? You can write about love in so many different ways, can't you? And it's relatable in different ways. It could be about a pet you've got, or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
It's the thing. It's the stuff that's timeless. I mean, again, one of the things. Love is a topic that never goes out of fashion. Yeah. Isn't it? So it always sells because people always want to listen to it.
But at the same time, like not breakups or nothing like that, because I'm not gonna be one of them. Do you know what I mean? But like, but you can write about
what's wrong with Tay Tay?
She's amazing. But have you seen that documentary?
I actually have.
Oh my god, it's unbelievable.
I haven't seen it. No,
I'd recommend it. I'm not sure the lids have been on it.
I just can't bear them lyrics with, like, you know what I'm saying, like that 22 and all that shit, never getting back together. It's just like the same word for like so long and so long. But
I actually reckon as a musician you might find it quite interesting if you ignore
it. You know what though, when she brought out that fit, what was it, Love Story or something like that, she's playing the guitar, she's singing it, I was like, you know what, like that is like I don't like it, but I my sister used to fucking love it, but I could like deal with it, you know what I mean? Because it was like, she was like this country girl and all that, you know what I mean? But it just seemed for me like, obviously we've just been talking about it, so maybe I'm being like small-minded, saying like, she just come out of nowhere with all these tunes. Obviously she's appealing to people, but you know, and fair play to anybody who's doing what she's doing, because I, for one, know how fucking hard it is to do that. And like, I've got nothing against her as like a person.
Yeah.
But like, I just cannot listen to them tunes, do you know what I mean? It's not just fair. Like, I just can't, it's just after like, The same lyric comes around third time in like 45 seconds.
Chris nearly got chucked out of one of our live shows for running across the tables in the beer keller to a Taylor Swift entrance song.
I have this argument, you're not the only ones, I have this argument with my mates on the coach. The lads on the coach used to actually, when she was like, they know what all them songs were coming out, they used to all play Taylor Swift and sing it to me at the back of the bus. You know what I mean? I'd be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You're all 25 years of age. And, you know what I mean? Why are we listening to Bowie?
We should be having it. Why are we listening to Taylor Swift?
Should be fighting with Leeds now when you're listening to Taylor Swift.
You know what I mean? The position of it, though, you know what I mean? Because everyone comes to like a live show or something and you expect something. Don't expect me coming out to Shake It Off. No. Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? Or Barbie Girl was another one I come out to.
Yeah, I come out to DuckTales once.
I come out to Show Me Love. Do you know the last three? Because I was taught Scouse anthem. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it is like actually the Scouse anthem, isn't it? I think Show Me Love.
Yeah.
Do you know when how many times that comes on at a party and people just start dancing and every girl in the venue, so baby, if you want me, you know what I mean? It's like, I just thought, you know what, like, that's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be this Scouse. Well, I am, you know what I mean? This Scouse sort of artist who's writing about life in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So to come out to, like, a timeless Scouse banger, basically.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
What's your second page?
My second page.
I just want to, but on that one, I need to make a confession. I've been doing all this. I'm going, yeah, it's horrible when people like this, people demanding to play songs. The Lightning Seeds played The Cream on the Millennium, and they didn't play Football's Coming Home, and I was fucking raging.
What does you now think about that?
Still raging. The fucking Millennium, Chris, was the Millennium. They couldn't play Football's Coming Home.
I think the problem, I mean, they didn't want to play it in Qatar.
Yeah.
They weren't going to, and like they were told to basically. I think it's the problem. Maybe they might not have played it. Is the whole idea of we're not English, we're Scouts. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, which is I know Brody's very like. Even though he's not too much, but like, cause he makes fucking hell of a lot of my money off Football's Coming Home. But like, I think that was the thing with him. But no, if we're going on to the next page, if we've got time, it's two and three. I'll throw them in together. One is not indicating.
Yeah.
I'm a bad indicator, busy. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone's driving in front of me and they just stop in the road, particularly if you've got somewhere to be, do you know what I mean? And like, you're like, what the fuck are you stopping for? You know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, you're turning, are you, dickhead? You know what I mean? And it's just like,
if only there was some way you could give us some form of indication as to which way you were going.
You're about to come on a roundabout. And you're like, right, oh, I can't go, this gun's coming round. And then you just turn, and you're like, that, you know what I mean? Just, oh, it's just, why not? It doesn't take nothing to go. You know what I mean?
You don't even have to turn it off.
No, it does it for you.
I drive down fucking Walton Road to get here, right? And there's that one where they turn right to go up to Walton Hill, and you can go straight on. There's always a big queue in the left lane, and there's always some cunt at the front not indicating to go right. So I always, every fucking day, I get behind the cunt who's not indicating, because I think he's going to be like me. He's going to fucking floor it and get past that big queue of people. And they don't even fucking turn. So you got the turn right lane, and they just slowly fucking edge their arse over.
And you're like,
you cunt, there's a fucking lane there. You can get in that lane. Why don't you get in that lane? And I can go straight on, but you're there not indicating, fucking taking up two fucking lanes.
And they're
not letting me out because they know I'm a prick as well.
Yeah. And then you get round them finally and the lights are on green and then you're like 10 metres away and you think if these change, now I've got to stop and then these change. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, just a little bit of courtesy towards other drivers. It might sound like a bad busy, but you know what? I don't give a fuck.
No, there is that. And it's up there with people who don't give you a little wave when you let them go.
Mate.
Cost nothing.
Like, I
think I've spat in my own window before, thinking it was open. Like, you know what I mean? When they haven't done that to me, you know what I mean? Absolute gobshite.
I love this. There's something about just eyeballing people because there's nothing you can do. Yeah. You've got a range of reactions. You can smash into them. You can get. And I've had this happen before where we've come off the five ways, pub on the five ways roundabout, and someone's sped up and they've obviously been flying round and they got out, slammed on in front of us, got out, and this fella. Got his hands in the window, right? My missus is driving, I'm in the passenger, and he tries to get in the car. So we wind the window up, and the window smashes because he's in the fucking thing, cuts his arms. He then looks, he's got blood pissing down his arms. He wiped the blood on my T-shirt, right? And at this point, his missus in the car in front is going, again, get in the car. He gets in the car and fucking floors it, and I'm like, I mean, it's hardly the perfect cry. You know what I mean? You've left your blood all over me.
He literally left
a touch of evidence behind that it was him. Like, but you know, there's a sliding scale of reactions in driving. But I think it's good to have a good fume to yourself every now and again. It really gets it's like fucking singing at the top of your voice in your car.
Yeah,
you know, something cathartic about it. But equally, that thing of just wanting to react. And the flip that I've started doing recently, if you ever do something stupid, like, so like you position the wrong on the road or you block a road off or something and someone gets dead wound up about you, pull tongues at them. Someone gets anxious because winding up someone else's road rage.
Better not fucking pull tongues.
Honestly, I'd be like, I've done that, fuck off. What are you going to do? You fucking wait to... You can see them just like, they're on the way to work, they're late for work, and I'm just there in my trackies driving around taking me time. Yeah, just give them one of them.
Do you know what other thing I don't like? I don't know whether it's because, like, I'm a young lad, and I've always looked like a young lad behind, you know, I'm 26 in April, like, I'm that young.
Yeah.
But, like, you know,
in your prime.
Older women, like, sort of drive towards you in, like, two-way streets. And like, they look at you and just like sheer disgust at the fact that you're driving a car. And you're like, what have I done? Like, who the fuck are you looking at, love? Do you know what I mean? I don't know whether it's just me thinking that they're looking like that, but it seems to happen an awful lot. Honestly, don't sharing a day in a car with me would be an eye-opener, you know. Honestly, God, my beard is like... My beard sits in the car with her hand on this the thing. You know,
this is my Alan Partridge-style pitch show.
Yeah.
It's fucking carpooling with Jamie Webster.
Oh, Jesus Christ, honestly, God. And then the last thing, my last page before we go all teetotal about like cars and shit like that is... When you go into a shop, like particularly a garage or something like that, and you're stuck behind them, and you're in a rush, and like you need to pay for your petty, or you need to get a drink or something like that. Whatever, you've got footy and you're late, but you haven't got yourself a bottle of water, so you've nipped in the shop with your footy. You know what I mean? Your footy webs half tied and everything, and you're like, ah, oh, fucking hell. And then this fella's like, yeah, 20 lambda bottle there, please, lads. And he gives him a lighter. Two number sevens, like as he's coming back.
One number seven?
Yeah.
And another number seven.
Consonant, please, yeah. Carol.
Then a lucky dip, lads. Oh, I forgot to get a drink. You know what I mean? He goes and gets a drink. And you just stood there like, come on, mate. You know what I mean? And instead of just saying, like, I'll have 20 ciggies, a lighter, two lucky dips, a number seven, and an echo, please, mate. And it's like the fella's like, okay, yeah, I can get all of that in one trip.
I've been working behind the bar for like 10 years of my life.
Drinkers. Yeah, it's the ones you order it last when they order a Guinness. And
I'll have
like...
a Carlin, and then I'll have a Foster's, and I'll have a double G&T, and a Guinness, and you're like, are you fucking taking the piss?
Yeah.
It's people who do that are up there with people who conduct their weekly business at the only cash point near your house.
Oh, so that the worst one for that is Belvale, like.
There's two cash points now, but there used to be
one cash point, and there'd always be seven people, and they'd spend half an hour at the cash point. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you looking for lottery numbers here? On the number pad or something? Like, take all day.
Yeah, definitely.
It's annoying when people do. I remember going to it, I was working in like, it was around Leeds way, but it was like a sort of like a village just outside Leeds or this field way, you know, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was called. But I remember going to
Wakefield.
Wakefield, no. I've worked in Wakefield, but it was like, honestly, it might have even been like...
Skipton.
Could have been Skipton, actually. Could have been Skipton. But...
Nailed that.
Yeah, could have been. And I was at this cash point, and there was this, like, our fella there, and it doesn't matter whether you're young or old or whatever, you know what I mean? Everyone can use a cash point. I'm not saying that. So he's got, like, his card out, withdrew, like, the money and all that. Puts it back in. Next card comes out. Do you know what I mean? And he'd done like four cards. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, for fuck's sake.
You only gone in the queue once, mate. You should get them back if you want to do a second card.
Like four times round. And he wasn't like being quick about it in any way, shape, or form.
And what was the
It was like literally, he was like putting his money away.
Sheila, what's the pin for the joint account?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the pin for the joint account?
8145. But he was like putting his money in one pocket, then getting his next set of money out, putting that in another pocket, then looking for the other money that he took out, you know what I mean? And it was like, should have someone with you here, mate, really, you know what I mean?
I used to do that books. Pin number thing, you know, like I'd shout four numbers out or something, you know, before like contactless. So I'd sometimes be in the pub and just they'd put the thing in, you put the card in, and I'd go 6271 like that and look at them in the face. And I'd never give them my pin number. I'm just saying four numbers, but just watching someone's face, they're like,
oh no,
it's just somebody's pin number. I'm like, you're not fucking doing that.
I've gone the other way. I've become so paranoid about my pin number that I like think different numbers while I'm pushing it in, just in case anyone's on a higher level. Like, you know what I mean? Like, very difficult to think four different numbers.
It's you. That's what you fucking. You're changing your pin every week at the fucking bank machine in Belvale. That's why I'm queuing up for fucking 10 years.
My bird does that to me though, because like, she'll go to me. Yeah. Like, I've got two cards, so she'll go, well, I'll take, keep hold of your business card. I'll take your personal card. You know, like, if she's going, like, we're in the airport or something, and I'm like, oh, I need to go here and get this. And she's like, well, I need to get this, yeah. Just gives you a personal card, and you've got your business one and your cash there in case you need it, don't you? And you're like, yeah, it's sound. And she'll walk away and go, and you go, and she's like, and you're like,
yeah. 4531, you know what I mean?
Like, you know, it's just like, nice one, and she's away, and you're like, fuck.
Just a massive anxiety, yeah. And then watching anyone who gets up, yeah, from the seats like to follow her.
Where are you going, lads?
I'm following me, Ben.
Sit down. Yeah. It's last call, mate.
On the multiple card thing, the only conceivable situation is that we've all been there where it's the week before payday and you're meant to go out on town and it's scraping, going to a Barclays to scrape every fiver out of every bank
Barclays
account
were a godsend, weren't they? Yeah. I used to live in Leeds, like, and I was terrible for money, like, and probably still am, to be fair, like, but I found out that back in, like, the year 2000, 2001, when was it, 2001, 2002, mm-hmm, basically petrol stations were set up completely differently because you'd always put the petrol in the car first, so they would just take your money. So I basically lived over my overdraft for 2 years, give or take, just on the petrol station supermarket shop, because you could go in there, you could buy like fucking anything you want, and the card machine was set up that it just took the money out of the bank, like, and I was just like fucking all the time, like, so far over my overdraft, it was ridiculous, like,
yeah,
great times.
That was one of those things, like the Jerry Seinfeld line about how there's like day guy and night guy, and night guy just fucking ruins day guy, you know, he goes out and gets fucked and day guy's got to pay the penance for it. That's young Chris and responsible Chris. I'd like to get a loan, please. And they're like, no, because you got cunted for 4 years in university and spunked all your money and everyone else's money up the wall, and now we don't trust you. It's like, fuck, damn, again, for what? For a load of nights I don't remember, anyway.
Mine was always a chicken tikka sarnie and a fucking chocolate milk, that was it.
And 50 quid to go on the, lash.
50 quid to pass to someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, just one thing I wanted to bring up to you, it didn't crop up, but I wanted to talk to Jamie, because you've become a household name, particularly in Liverpool and around the world with Liverpool fans, that you've entered into this new territory. Where you were parodied by Bleacher Report.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah, remember that?
Let's give it up for Jamie Webster!
Who the hell is Jamie Webster?
You don't know Jamie Webster?
Mousola, my heart's full of Liverpool. And if I die, I hope I go to heaven. And heaven is actually Anfield, and God is Robbie Fowler. Mousola, I love you so much, I would eat your poo.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I was in there with some good company, like, but I was thinking, what are you being so nasty for? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So they got this ongoing cartoon series called The Champions, with, and they've got this thing about Liverpool being a bit annoying because we're like, and I get it.
Hate us if you weren't us.
You take a step back from it, because this means more, and you get it. You see Liverpool doing, you know, we don't have fans, we've got family and all this kind of stuff, like, and I'm like, yeah, and then when you take a step back, you're like, oh my god, it's a bit on the nose.
Some call it a stadium, we call it home.
Absolutely. And they had you, and Jamie Webster come on
talking about eating Mo Salah's poo. I never let Mo Salah's poo. Do you know what? If it was put on a plate, you know, we just let that fucking pate stop. You know what I mean? It might not be too bad, but not saying that I'm open to it, by the way, but yeah, it was a.
Over there.
I just got told to watch this, and at first I was like, right, okay, it's just one of them shit, like, cartoons that they make, and I was actually enjoying it, because it was like, quite funny. Like,
so when you watched it, did you know you
were in it? No, not at first, and then I was like, now we have the special guest, Jamie Webster, and I was like, what the fuck? And it was like,
what have I agreed to?
And it was like, you don't know Jamie Webster, do you know what I'm saying? And it was like, whoa, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, here I am. Well, I do have quite a big head, so they've nailed that.
One tens on.
And then the voice come out, and I was like, I'm not a fucking cockney. Hang on a minute, you know what I mean? That was the main thing that glanced on me, was they could have done an over-exaggerated Scouse accent, and I'd have been like, I'll take that every day of the week, do you know what I mean? Just a Cockney accent, I was like, cheeky bastards, do you know what I mean? Like, people from London are lovely, like, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm not from London, I don't talk like that. And the fact that loads of people have seen it, and it was just like, I was a bit pissed off, because I thought, like, fucking hell, the likes of Mo Salah and Klopp and all that, don't look at that, because they've got no need to look at that. They're living in, like, fucking, you know what I mean, state-of-the-art houses, like, in absolute luxury. And, like, here I am, sat in, like, a little 4x4 studio off Vauxhall Road, trying to write a couple of songs, watching these fucking
people just absolutely taking me off. But it was funny at the same time. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I was watching it and I was thinking, gobshites. But then I found myself laughing at the same time. So I was like, you know what? They haven't like, they've not gone
it's
out.
A, it's not bad.
It's not
bad,
like they've gone out to like go, oh, I'm going to make a cunt out of this kid. It was just like part of the story. And like, do you know what? The more I looked at it and thought about it, I thought, if you weren't a Liverpool fan, yeah, and you'd seen like what I'd been doing over the past couple of years, that's the conclusion you'd probably draw from it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you wouldn't watch it long enough to actually, you know, take in the story and, you know, what sort of gone on, you know, and how like it's been embraced by, and how I've my sort of story of being a fan first and coming into all this next, you know, or organically through it, rather it's just, look at that knobhead there singing Liverpool, singing nursery rhymes to fully grown men, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It is, and I understand that, so it did that after a little while.
But they all want that as well.
Yeah,
they all want that there.
Oh, of course they do.
Did you hear that? I mean, you won't, because you was in Madrid, you were obviously so, but you had your itinerary. You're a busy boy in Madrid. Yeah, but right. We were walking around the streets, and but we're going past like clutches of Spurs fans and listening to what they've got to offer. Their song, they've got all the standard Premier League songs that every Premier League team's
got. Yeah, like, we've got him.
Yeah, he's one of our own and all that shit. Yeah. And then they've got a couple of, like, Cockney ditties, and that's it. I find it hilarious how wound up fans of other teams get, that Liverpool fans have parties in, like Munich. We had a big party before a quarter-final?
Yeah.
Last 16, yeah. Whatever, you know, quarter-final game.
Yeah, it was insane, wasn't it?
Yeah, but last 16, but anyway, yeah, we were filled a big venue in Germany,
yeah,
full
2,500 people probably in the surrounding and stuff like that, and that's the kind of class. It was like I don't know. I suppose most we have got a European pedigree as like a Liverpool footy team, you know. So I think the days of people going over to all these places in Europe and like seeing the sights, going to the bars and all that. Like, we've been to pretty much every fucking place, do you know what I mean? Or most of the people in the generation that are following Liverpool now, all these places that we'll go to in the Champions League, we've been to them,
yeah.
You know what I mean? We know what they're like. So the fact that we can now, people are looking for something a little bit different with Liverpool fans, you know what I mean? People are looking for somewhere to, we've all stood in that square from 15 times, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we've all been to that boozer 15 times. Well, yeah, there's a boss night on. In a few years, it'll be to, oh, we've been to that, we've been to a boss night here 15.
It's we'll go see the sights.
There'll be something else, but like, I think it is, it's that lore of something different. And it's also the fact that, you know, like dads and lads going on them trips, it's like something that they can both enjoy together. Yeah. You know, a lot of the sort of hardcore Liverpool fans on European away, maybe when I say hardcore, I mean like more like hooligan and, you know, casual sort of. Yeah. People, they don't tend to go to them gigs because, like, you know, they've been there when it started up and it's sort of old news for them, you know what I mean? But, like, so they'll go and do their own thing. But for the majority of people who are there for, like, their first times and you know, going with the mates for the first, particularly young lads going with the mates for the first time, you know, it's something that they can feel. Because sometimes they don't have tickets, so it's somewhere where they can go and feel part of the day.
If you don't have tickets, or at best, you're probably not even sat. You might have tickets, but not sat together. Yeah, you've got somewhere you can go and have a fucking
be part of something together. And then there's the, like you say, there's the dad and lad aspect of it. Who, like, you know, where you could take your lad with you and you could get absolutely sloshed and still act the same as your kid. Your kid be acting exactly the same as you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just you're all there for the same reason. There's no sort of, oh, you can't do that in here, son. Or you can't do that in here, dad. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then there's also the fact of, you know, European fans who like want that bit of Scouse so bad.
Who aren't able to get to a hotel table before the game. Or is it 12th man you do after the game?
The halfway house after. But, like, yeah, exactly. For them who are like, wow, you know what I mean? I've seen the videos on social media.
You want a part of it?
Yeah, and I do get that's some, you know, in my first thing that I spoke about in Dublin. I do get the people, obviously, and, you know, maybe hadn't researched enough to, and all he wanted was to be part of one of them Liverpool nights, and I'm apologetic for that it couldn't be that way, but
you literally use capital letters.
Yeah, I use capital letters, and it couldn't, the minute I start caving in, the minute it all becomes one entity again.
No, it's right,
too, so I'm not going to dwell on that too much, but yeah, particularly in Europe, it's like, it's something new for people to do, and it's
It's a great way.
You've got the choice. You know, you go to a square, and you're right, you can go to a square and you can take over and sing songs, but if you can go somewhere and it's just the horses for courses, isn't it? It's a different
still going to go on anyway.
Of course it is. But it's inclusive for for everyone, really. If you do fancy yourself as a bit of a hooligan or a hard knock and that, some of them people still do come down because it's a good way to let off a load of steam. Do you know what I mean? And sing battle songs and shit like that. You know what I mean? It's good. It's brilliant. I love the European away, boss nights. Do you know what I mean? Especially the Munich one. I think Munich one was a standout one other than Madrid. Yeah. But the Munich one was definitely the standout one. That was because it was a proper city. You know what I mean? Proper place, proper ale.
Decent, I'll say, decent, great venue, fucking decent beer at one of them things, reasonably priced, which was is astounding.
I mean, I don't drink, I never do. I have a few drinks, it's always there backstage, and I'm not being cocky, to be honest, I reckon 80, 90% of the times there's been beer in the backstage room. I've never drank it anyway.
Yeah.
But, because I'm singing, like I was saying earlier on the show, on the podcast, but yeah, definitely the ale's better, and if it was reasonably priced, that's always a good thing, because that's one thing we do sort of get criticism for is the price of the ale, but that's just gigs as standard. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't own these bars where we can, dictate the price of ale. The fact that you're getting it for free most of the times in these European aways. So, one of the things with that is people pay money for the tickets, they pay money to get over there. We don't want to charge them to come in, even though sometimes venues insist on it and say, no, we want you used to charge a fiver or two. Even if it's only a fiver.
You find another venue that let you in for
free. Yeah, exactly. But we say to them, listen, you stand to take about 20 grand on this bar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Don't be greedy. And 9 times out of 10, they're all right with it. Or sometimes they say, well, can you put a deposit down? And we'll see how it goes. And by the time the first hour's gone, they're there's your fucking deposit back. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So next part of the show is we do life advice. But before we do that, where do you stand on grapes with seeds?
Wow.
You got grapes?
No.
Oh, you bring fucking salmon paste, but you don't bring grapes.
I want to purge grapes with seeds as well, to be honest with
you. Yeah, I think it's like...
What the fucking point of that?
No, yeah, I mean, I think as a people, I think we're past that, aren't we? I don't understand what the point of them exists anymore. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's the old GM, genetically modified haters, who won't be down with fucking grapes. Because I see them and go, look at the size of these grapes. Wow, what boss grapes? They're huge. And you realise when you bite into one why they're massive. Because they've fucking got the fucking seeds in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... Yeah,
don't tell me you like them.
No,
you're not buying grapes with seeds.
No, I wouldn't purposely buy...
They might not be able to reproduce. They might be shit grapes. You might not grow a bush from them, but so what?
I know, but I wouldn't purposely... I'm not saying I'd purposely go into a supermarket and go, excuse me, love, where's your seeded grapes? You know what I mean? But, if someone give me a grape and I bit it with a seed, and you just sort of go... I don't mind the fact that it's just if you're outside, especially,
yeah, that's you're almost that's like walking the street to a crocky fucking spitting. You're not allowed to not spit. Yeah,
you almost feel I don't know, when the people, when you look at of mice and men and that, and they're chewing the sunflower seed and spitting them out. you know what I mean? When you were on site, if you threw a grape in your mouth, it was sort of a manly thing to be you know what I mean? if you could do it without looking like a knobhead, sort of an ad case, you know what I mean? Look at me, I'm a working man, look, them fucking seeds, fuck off. You know what I mean?
I'll chew them.
Yeah. Just eat them. Grow my own grapes inside me. But, if you're in a nice environment, or especially if you're in the company of people who you can't really spit seeds out in front of, you know what I mean? Yeah, then they're a twat, because especially, if I was going for a meeting, say in Liverpool's offices, and a load of grapes were on the table, I was like, sat, bastard, it's seeded. That's when you're fucking bastard seeded grapes. What am I going to do with this? I'm going to sit with it under my tongue or something.
Normally.
You know what I mean?
Store them up.
Yeah. Like a squirrel, like an hamster. You know what I mean? But then, imagine that though, just going outside and just being you know what I mean? Just firing them out like a Tommy gun. I just think it depends which way you look at these things. It's half full, half empty.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? If you're running an all-inclusive, holiday package, then you want to go for the cheapest grapes possible, which are often, I guess, would be the seeded ones. That's other than that.
You run the risk of grape fucking bushes growing everywhere around your place because someone's outside where they're normally having a smoke, spitting fucking seeds out.
Three grapes, there you go. All inclusive holidays, they box themselves.
Feed the animals.
Right, so from that, we've got our very first life advice email in.
And this one's just called Losing My V. Hello, fellas. I was out last night at my mate Bird's house and he had set me up with her mate. All was well until I got back to her house. We proceeded to attempt the devil's tango and to my shock, I couldn't get it off. I was a crate deep at this point, but missing my first opportunity to lose my virginity is proper shit. Is this normal or am I going to have to pop Viagra's like a 63-year-old Dave who spends his dole money on cheap pilsners? All the best. Please don't say my name.
Right, well, I think the first question you've got to ask is, how old is he? Because, like...
A crate?
A crate. I mean, I'm, you know, not taking the piss out of anyone for not losing the virginity or anything, but...
No, if you've not lost your virginity because you've drank a crate of ale and then you can't get it up, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it is hilarious, but at the same time, like... Is he blaming the crate or is it because he's nervous and he's like... Oh, I need to get this up and because of the pressure he can't or whatever else. You know what
have
I mean?
You had them problems yourself?
No, do you know what?
Sam, you know?
Yeah, no. Like, I don't want to talk too much about it.
This
like,
is why the age
I was shagging quite young, like, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I'm not talking like 10, like, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, like, you're talking teens, like, you know what I mean? I was doing a bit of damage to me, like, I was... I'm not shy, lads. You know what I mean. I didn't used to mind it. All with females, obviously, and everyone else.
You know what? Actually, I need to pull up this. We got a complaint. Can we do the complaint?
We can absolutely do the
you
complaint.
You like this? I took a photo. I took a screenshot of it because it was fucking hilarious. We got a complaint in because I interviewed Nikki from West Ham Fan TV, and they used. But let me just read it. I won't spoil it. They said.
This is a genuine.
This is under contact reason report content. Afternoon. First, let me say how much I enjoy your podcast and YouTube content. It's helped me gain a greater appreciation for LFC and me, and in many cases, made me feel like I'm right there experiencing my club. Brilliant. Thank you. My concern is that from your Saturday West Ham opposition podcast, we're at the approximate 10-minute mark. There's a reference, if I heard it correctly, to where you went to finger a bird under the stands. In Canada, that has a derogatory and disrespectful meaning towards women. Can I get some clarity on what it means in the UK? Beyond that, as mistakes can happen, I look forward to continued strong content from respectable hosts. So basically, Nicky said, West Ham's training facilities, they're shit. I used to play footy there when I was a kid and I went, oh, your initials still round the back of the changes where your finger's a bird. And
yeah,
I hate to break it to him, but we're not the BBC and we're not going to do nothing about that.
You can't make a good, solid finger the bird reference. Then
it's just like, you know what I mean?
It's a part of life.
Most girls would laugh. I mean, sorry, like, you know, Canada maybe a different place, but like, most girls in Liverpool have pissed themselves with that comment, you know what I mean? I think it's a funny word. Fingering is a funny word, like, yeah, in general. Even if you don't really know what it means, do you know what I mean? It could be like, I don't know, but I just think it's just a funny... It's a rite of passage.
I don't think
it's funny, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But as much as lads sit around and talk, because you do talk about, that's like, it's part of growing up, it's a first step, isn't it? Like, you mean, and I'm sure girls have the same expressions, and like, you talk about it in the same way. When you're a teenager, you're talking about the first time you got...
You're saying first step, isn't it called, like, first or second base in Canada?
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, back to the advice, I think it's important. I think he needs to try it without the crate,
yeah.
And if he's still having issues, because it might be an age question, because when I was around that age, like, all I had to do was, like, look at a girl and I'd be ready, you know what I mean? Like, you know, thinking about it was enough to get you there. So
I think the main issue he's got is he's shitting himself, quite honestly, about it. Yeah. And he's got himself too drunk and he can't get himself up because he's got himself too drunk because he's working it up to it. You need to not do that. What you need to do is, like, whatever you're doing, whatever it is, when you play pool, when you're at your absolute best, for me, it's 4 pints or 4 bottles. I'm at my absolute best at the pool on 4 pints and I'm probably the best version of myself. Stop there. Fucking stop. Any more, go home.
Or get the deed done early. There's a
tangential. I lost mine on stairs, by the way.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to get up to the
bed.
We
were like, down the hole.
And then we did end up making it up into my mate's little brother's bed, I think, or something like that. They were out house party.
Yeah.
Alcohol's a dangerous thing in that regard. And I remember it's like, so on my wedding day, there's, you know, you've got the break between the service and the party. Get the deed done. get it consummated.
I should have done that.
No, I advised you to, and you chose not to, because again, you go too far, you get too far, and ale can be a damaging
thing. I was
thing.
In the bubble. I was thinking the way I was my oyster at this point.
The expression is invincible but incapable. And that's what alcohol does to you. Yeah. So yeah, you've got to just wind it in, make it special, light some candles.
Yeah.
Don't go out with a loaded gun as well. We learned that from Something About Mary.
And like, if they're wearing a dress with a shitload of buttons, like my wife's wedding dress, this is about 14 hours of drinking if Kat ever watches or listens to this. She's fucking going to kill me. I was so cunt, I couldn't get the buttons open on a dress, or I'd go over to the T-shirt and I'd find this fucking teaspoon, and I'm like popping buttons off a fucking 1.5 grand fucking dress. Fucking ripping out the dress and all that. You don't need to do that either.
No.
It's a good job you didn't do that to your suit, because it was the only clothes you had.
That's true.
Anyway.
Tone it down on the ale, or just, you know, drink, you know, don't be drinking Skull Super.
Buckfast on
but
an
like, to be fair, like, a crate deep, a full crate deep.
What? No, we can't ask that question at all.
Were
you attracted to this person?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's another thing. You're not just doing it for the sake of.
Don't do it just to do it, lads and ladies. Yeah. Do it because you really want to.
Yeah.
Don't just do it to tick it off your list. It helps if you give.
Make
it
sure it's enjoyable. Like that person, but yeah, I think a crate deep. I think if you
there's not many activities that you can partake in a crate deep.
I don't know whether you're trying to show off there or anything, mate, but you shouldn't, because I think someone who drinks a full crate, you know, before the night out, you just got to be a sloppy mess anyway. So it's nothing, even in general speaking and sitting and, you know, pissing and shitting as well. Like, you know what I mean? You're just going to be a mess.
So I think what we're going for ultimately is, Try before you go and pop fucking loads of Viagras and cheap pills.
Yes.
Try it sober.
Follow a process.
Yeah.
Make sure that you like women. Make sure that you like her, and make sure that you can get you with the right person.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm
relaxed.
I think we've nailed that.
Okay, got one more. Before we wrap up, I'll try and keep this short and sweet. Call me anything, just not my real name, please. Don't want to be exposed. So basically, there's a lad in my college that I've liked for over a year. I got signs that he liked me back about October last year, but I found out he had a girlfriend. I've recently found out they've broke up. Obviously, he's my mate, so I'm checking in on him to make sure he's okay, but I don't know what I should do a bit further down the line. We're both in our last year. What do you think I should do? I should also mention we have two classes together.
Is this a boy or a girl who's writing this email?
I, without exposing him, I'm going to say it's a boy.
Okay, well, that's fine.
It is a boy.
No, that's fine. Well, I can understand the pressures in that situation, not from personal experience.
Can't I understand asking us for advice?
I don't know why you've come.
Well, I'm quite a liberal person. I've got no problems with any do that, whether it's a boy or a girl. Do you know what I mean? That's down to them. Do you know what I mean? I personally, you know, like girls. But if this lad likes his mate and he thinks that, you know, if you think that he's there with you, who's anyone to tell you not to have a go? Do you know
you
what I
miss
mean?
100% of the shots you don't take, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, one of my things in life is, I mean, don't rush into anything, but certainly don't hesitate with anything either.
Accidentally flicking round, watching something, and porn comes on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shocking. Yeah. What do you think of that? Is that shocking? Is that too much? Oh, no, we're into it. There you go. God knows I've done that shit. plenty of times down here.
Pornography's
actually fallen. Men are not picky. Men are nowhere near as picky as women.
Yeah.
So you actually might be in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, you hear lots more. Men just like.
Yeah.
All men like blowjobs. It's an important rule of life. Doesn't matter what your sexual orientation.
I've just been watching Ray Donovan. And it was like, have you ever seen Ray Donovan? His granddad's like, this kid's, Ray Donovan's dad is sort of like been seeing his kids behind his back and, like, you know, trying to sort of bring them up a little bit himself. And he says, do you like getting blowjobs? It doesn't matter where it comes from, I'm out to mouth. That was last night. Funny you said that, I was pulled up, but yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah, watch Ray Donovan if you need any advice on that, I suppose.
Absolutely. If you need any more life advice in general, use the comment section underneath on the YouTube. And you can tweet us at MHXPayJack on Twitter as well. Make sure you follow that account first and foremost. And we've got an Instagram account as well of the same name. Make sure you get involved with everything Jamie's doing, the tour, the album, get listening on Spotify. Have you got a website?
No.
Just get on Twitter.
Yeah,
then.
Just get on me Twitter, Instagram and all that. But there's two singles out there now and there's got to be... I'm releasing one towards, it'll be around the end of the season, it'll come out, you know, an original song, and it's called This Place. It's actually about, you know, not forgetting where you come from and all that, you know.
That's
what I mean?
On your demo CD, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is a proper produced version. It, yeah? It sounds fucking boss.
It's boss on the demo CD.
Nice, like. One, mate, appreciate it. But this, like, honestly, it blows it out the water. It's like, I'll actually send you it once we've done the thing.
No, that's all right, the only reason we've got him in. we'll link to all this stuff in the comment section and all that underneath anyway. But yeah, thank you very much. That is the second episode of the second series of MXP. We'll be back with more guests. Keep your guest suggestions coming as well. Thank you very much.
No, I enjoyed that, lads. Cheers.
Mate, nice
laugh.
Tara.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.